The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
What I believe is going to be the most dysfunctional Congress we had in the modern era. I don't see any real movement to it other than raising the ceiling again, which I think has been like 180-something times. And the debt crisis combined with this retirement crisis that is going to come to the forefront really doesn't bode well. I said today there's no magic bullets. There's no easy solutions. It took decades to get here, and both sides of the aisle are responsible. And I think it's going to take a whole generation of payback to at least make it manageable again.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was the voice of Peter Grandage. Believe it or not, it was about 2 weeks ago when he was here with us today. And I like to visit with him. I think it's every first and third Friday. You can set your calendar to that. Peter stops by a couple times a month just to give us an update on what's happening on the markets. Peter's been going through a rough go. And I just want to ask you, because I consider you family, to pray for him. If you are a believer in the Lord, you believe in the power of prayer, as I do. You believe in God's mercy and his healing touch. And say a prayer for this man. He's been through a lot. He's got a great story to tell. He has, as I've often shared with you, he's made millions of dollars. He was, you know, he let fame and pride get to him. He said he was humbled. He lost millions. He raised millions again. And he chronicled it all in a story called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. I wanted to say Confessions of a Wall Street Whiz Kid. That was what it was initially called, but he retitled it in his humility, Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. He's been pretty accurate, though. I like Peter. He's got an honest look. He kind of predicted where we are today several years ago. And I know sometimes when he comes on, I think, oh, gosh, it's kind of negative. It's this, it's that. I mean, that's kind of the vibe you come away from. But Peter's just reading the winds, right? He's looking at the currents. He's seeing where things are going. So let's pray for him because, as I said, he's a little bit under the weather, and he shared part of his story. He might even do it again today. But I do want to talk about the markets because, you know, there's a lot of surprise today. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know whether the Biden administration, Joe Biden's policies are, in fact, working. I hope they are. I really do. You know, I root for America. I root for this country's success. It's not about political party, right? I may disagree with Mr. Biden on a lot of spiritual things when it comes to life and a lot of this gender ideology, but I pray for his health, and I pray that he'll govern properly. The Federal Reserve, they came out on Wednesday. They announced that they've raised interest rates another quarter of a point. You're thinking, oh, when will that stop, right? That's the eighth increase since March. Eighth time they did it. And Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, he said, you know what? It's probably not going to be the end. He didn't indicate how much longer it's going to be going on. There's a sense that we may not see many more of these. All he said was that there's going to have to be a consistent and sustained downward path in inflation before they consider stopping the increases. So those credit card interest rates, those student loans, everything else that's linked to all this, you know, you're going to continue to see it tick up. Anyone trying to borrow money, that's bad news. It really is bad news. But for people who have variable rate loans of any kind, you know, maybe when you got your mortgage a while ago, you thought, oh, this is great. Well, they're ticking up too. What you have is inflation right now, eating at your wages on the front end, and you have interest rates raising your mortgage and your credit card rates at the back end. So your paycheck is going nowhere as far as it did before, you know, the start of 2021. In fact, because of the double-backed pressure, 64% of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck. When I saw that stat, I was shocked. 64% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. And people are actually even borrowing from their 401ks or their 403bs, make sure the mortgages are paid and they're able to get by. So people have blown through the savings that they compiled during the pandemic. Savings went way up during that, by the way. I don't know whether people put the money that the government gave them away or they just said, hey, we're not spending, we're not eating out. You know, I'm not spending money on dry cleaning or gas because I'm not driving to work. I can see how money can kind of build up in those areas. But CNBC reported that compared to 2021, almost 9.5 million more Americans said that they are stretched far too thin. And there's this finance guru, Maggie, you might know her, Susie Orman. She thinks that the numbers are even worse than that. She's got a company called, I think it's called Secure Save. They did a survey and found that 67% of workers can't afford an emergency fund, an emergency expense of $400. You know, and that 74% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Those are her numbers and her surveys. A little bit higher than the one I saw. But, you know, that's 3 out of 4 Americans. That's a frightening number. One final survey here, and I want to get to Peter, get his take on it. Something else I saw. There was a company called Go Banking Rates. What they found was that 2/3 of Americans fear they're going to run out of money during their retirement. We talked about this a little while ago. Another half are concerned that they're going to have an unexpected major health expense. And you know, health expenses can just drain you of everything that you have. I mean, I often say health is wealth. Thank God for your health. Pray for it as well. But here to unpack it all, to give us a perspective on job numbers, unemployment, inflation, retirement, what the future holds, is Peter Granditch. You can join us too. The number to get in and talk to him is 888-914-9149. By the way, you can follow Peter at his website, petergranditch.com. Sign up for his email. You get some insight from him. Of course, he provides guidance on matters of finance through that company, Peter Granditch & Company. Peter, good to have you back.
Good always to be with you, Drew.
Buddy, we're praying for you. I've been praying for you on the chapel just about every day. I know you're going through a tough run, so maybe let's talk about you before we talk about the economy. I know you appreciate prayer. How are you holding up?
Well, you know, you can have a lot of illnesses, and people can appreciate it when your arm, something's wrong, or your lung. But when your mind is, when your brain is not working, it's still frowned upon. Depression is still not, to some people anyway, the same ranks. Yet, it's probably more frustrating than anything else, because you could almost accept that, okay, something's wrong with my blood or my leg, but my brain, why can't I just say something and be better?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, it runs in genes. You know, I've discovered over these last several years that my entire father's side of the family, everybody, including the children that were my cousins, all have had it. And once you've had it and it happens more than once, it's likely to happen again. And the thing is, if you haven't had it, you're probably gonna. And if you haven't had it or gonna have it, someone you love or care for has it. And it is a weapon that I never realized how much the devil can use. And I've literally told people that the devil has made campgrounds in my brain. And I thought I was a strong Christian Catholic man, and I did my prayers and I did that stuff. And I've discovered that he's a very tough person to fight. You know, we have victory over him, but it's easier said than done for a human being to battle. And without the support of friends and the prayers and all the things, I don't even know if I'd be talking to you right now, Drew. So, and I know a lot of people listening right now to this suffer from it or have suffered from it. And yet it's still kind of a black, you know, tunnel thing that we don't talk about, but it's very prominent, and it's a very, very hard thing to deal with, because you can't rationally think. You become irrational. Now, Drew, I've also, because of my fears that I have about what's happening in the country, that adds to it. You know, I have this, you like to talk about, you know, drinking your hemlock and all that, but I just continue to see things getting bad. You just spoke about it. The debt crisis is going to be matched by the retirement crisis. I mean, 3/4 of Americans are really struggling paycheck to paycheck. They're literally now using credit cards just to pay for food and shelter. And yet there's an aura in Wall Street of, I've always called it, the don't worry, be happy crowd, that lives in another world and will never bring up that or even talk about that. But that's the reality right now. And things are getting worse for a lot of people. They're not getting better.
My guest today is Peter Granditch. We're taking a look at what's happening in the economy and the markets, and also he's just shared very intimately. I was sitting here, Peter, as you're talking too, and I just want to say to those who are listening, if you have a word of encouragement for Peter, maybe you've been through what he's through, maybe you got a solution, feel free to call in and let him know you're praying for him, or you know, share your thoughts. It's 888-914-9149. We'll also talk finances. And Peter, just one final thought, and we'll get back to the finances here. It's just, you know, it is a difficult thing, the depression you're going through. And it is a dark veil, and it's hard. And I know there was a point in time where you thought you wouldn't even be coming on the air with me much longer. So I just want to say thank you for being here. It's great to have your insight, and I'm glad you're pushing through this. And I'm glad you so humbly and beautifully shared your own struggle rather than keeping it private. because you're going to get a lot of prayers. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, hey, we are praying for you. So put them on your prayer list when you do your rosary, you go to adoration, or you spend time with the Lord. Remember Mr. Grandage. I want to back up and take a look at the Fed raising the rates the way they are. Is it working? It seems to be eating into people's paychecks. Yet, job numbers today looked great too, and that was a big surprise. What are you seeing in terms of jobs? Why was that number so surprising? And then at the same time, with the Fed, I don't know how much more they're going to do. I would imagine they're going to slow it down soon, but give me your take on that.
So today's number was greatly enhanced by a radical change on how the government has decided to seek and figure out what employment is, not just changing their seasonal adjustments. Remember, they've always do a guess of what should be, and are people employed and all. And they radically change it. That's why it was so far off from the typical economist prediction, because the economists weren't aware that they were changing the way that they look at it. But nevertheless, that's what's being reported, and everybody's going to assume everything's hunky-dory. But if it is true, even though the ADP number, which is done by a private corporation, which in my view doesn't have an agenda, they only had 100,000. So somebody got it really wrong. But nevertheless, that number is what the Fed is probably going to go by, and it's certainly not going to give them incentive to stop raising rates, or if as many on Wall Street keep thinking they're going to cut rates again. But the Federal Reserve has really been a hindrance than a helping. They drove for a lot of years through this, what we call quantitative easing. Remember, you're old enough to remember when interest rates were 10, 12, 15%.
Yeah, sure.
And they drove it down to zero, and they killed the fixed income market. And with that, they killed people who would normally use safe principal of interest investments, because it's so hard for people to find any interest rate that they could live off of, and they drove them into riskier stuff. And then they missed the inflation. They kept saying it was transitory when it wasn't. And so I don't ever look at the Fed as the great hero or savior that some on Wall Street would think that they are. I think they're a big cause of some of the issues we have, along with the politics in Washington. But nevertheless, because of this number, I don't think we're going to see a cut in interest rates, as many people were predicting last year, that as early as early this year. So yep. I think that's still going to be a challenge in terms of interest rates. And I don't think the inflation problem has gone away either. Certainly if you've gone food shopping, you can tell that.
Yeah, we can talk about that for sure. Let me grab a call or two for you. Again, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. We're talking to Peter Grandage. Terry is listening in Long Beach, California. She's got a message for you, Peter. Good afternoon, Terry.
Good afternoon, Peter and Drew. I suffer from a lot of fear just for my whole life. But what you're talking about and what's happening in the world right now just really hit me when you're talking that last time I went to confession, it was about fear. And the priest told me to meditate on Psalm 23. And it was very, very helpful for me.
Beautiful.
Because God is in charge and not this world.
Oh, I appreciate that. I have to tell you, Drew, I would say at least a couple of hundred relevant radio people who subsequently subscribed to my blog and all, and when I've shared this, have written to me and, thanking me for what I speak about here and the pray and so forth. But I live a little bit more of the reality of the markets and the economy than the average person may have time to do. And I'm very upset that Wall Street, I've coined many of them on Wall Street, the don't worry, be happy crowd. I've always joked, and I've said this, that they could fall off the Empire State Building all the way down. They would say, so far, so good. Yeah. They're not accounting for even to have Susie Orman. I mean, here's a person that lives selling financial products, and even she came out to talk about how it is, and yet there's a no say, don't talk about it on Wall Street. And I think it has serious issues. And can I just tell you one issue I think is very important before you go to the phones?
No, go ahead.
And I'm already seeing it now happening. I'm hearing from younger folks, people, 20, 30, 40, saying, hey, they want to raise, take out more money from my Social Security and Medicare. They want to raise the limit. I'm never going to be able to collect. I don't want to see an 80-year-old person get a lung transplant and I have to pay through Medicare. We are going to have a battle of the ages, not only of wealth, but people regarding entitlements. And, Drew, where are these three-quarters of people who have really no retirement saving? Where are they going to turn to? Where are they going to find subsequent housing that they can afford and so forth? You know, I never thought I'd sound like a liberal or a socialist, but I see how bad it is. I hear from so many people seeking help and all for that. And this is an issue that's not being discussed in the general media. So I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk to your audience about
I agree. And I think there will be a desire to have the government take care of you. You have nothing saved. Where are you going to turn? There's another stat that I came across. We'll jump into the phones very quickly. I just want to follow up on this point. The stat is also nearly half of Americans say they're concerned that Social Security will either be diminished or it will run out by the time they reach retirement age. A lot of people have invested their entire life into it. And for some, that's all they have. Should people be thinking about a different vehicle for taking care of themselves besides the full faith and credit of the United States? Or do you think that'll be here?
First of all, you have no choice. I mean, they're going to raise the payroll tax for Social Security. They'll eventually raise the age where before you can accept it. They are charging more and more to lower, and they're lowering the basis of income before they start taxing your Social Security. But when you combine that with the Medicare and Medicaid costs, many estimates there's about $70 trillion of expected payments to be made, especially with so many boomers retired. And we can't even pay the $33 trillion that we have in hard debt. So, again, like I said, they're going to pass the debt ceiling again. They'll go to June. They'll kick the can. But they're getting to the point where they're not going to be able to kick the can again. And, Drew, let me just say this so everybody understands this. This does not bring me business. This takes business away from taking this stance. Trust me, most people don't want to hear this. They want to go to somebody who talks about the cup half full, half empty. But I think this is the reality. And somehow I think with all this happening in my life, I'm called to speak about this more and more. So I'm just, again, thankful that you give me a chance to talk about it.
So, you know, you struggle with depression, or at least you have in recent days. This compounded by what we're seeing on the national and international scene. Boy, you talk about exacerbating that. That's something else. Hey, I want to thank Terry for Psalm 23. That is a powerful and beautiful psalm. That's the Lord is my shepherd psalm. If you're not familiar with it, where he says he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He talks about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm, and it's a great one to reflect on, especially if you're struggling. It talks about God's both protection and its providence. Let's grab another call or two for you, Peter. We'll go to Haverstraw, New York. Angelina, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mr. Grandage.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to share my story. Maybe, you know, it brings some light to, you know, suffering with depression. So I was pregnant during 2020, during the pandemic. And I was advised by my doctors to end the pregnancy. It was a very tough pregnancy. But I carried through with it, and I have a beautiful baby.
Wow.
So after giving birth, I went through the severe postpartum depression. And one day, I just dropped a gallon of milk. And in the middle of my kitchen full of milk, I prayed the Lord to get me through it. And you know what? He just put these words in my head, and I repeated to myself every day, God, I trust in you.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, thank you, Angelina. What a beautiful story. Having those baby blues is tough. Peter, what do? Do you pray when you're in these difficult moments? I mean, that divine mercy is great.
I would tell you I did more rosaries in the last 2 months than I did in the previous 20 years. I try it. You know, I listen to your divine mercy almost every day. I also do it with my wife here. Again, you know, one of the things I discovered it's very, very difficult around money. As much as I've spoken to you and I've talked about how much God talks about money in Scripture and all, I still got caught up in it. Again, not as severe as in the past, but, you know, I'm going to turn 67, and I'm with that group. You know, I'm not prepared that I've lived to 85 or 90 to be able to pay my way. And this, is again, like I said, is I can't tell you how many people, especially boomers, who are contacted me, realizing they're behind the eight ball or got hurt in the last year or two. you know, because they've lived off, or they were told by financial advisors the stock market always goes up and blah, blah, blah. And they lived a lifestyle one or two ahead, and you and I have had this discussion, than really their finances support. And you are so right. People are going to turn to the government, look for the government to help, and a government that's really up to its eyeballs in debt. And Drew, here's the biggest thing, if you want to ask one of the biggest things that concern me when I tie my finances to my own personal concerns. This Congress is going to be the most dysfunctional Congress, because not only do Republicans and Democrats don't want to work together, but within each party, there's fractions that have different views than their own other party members. So at a time when we really need some serious, hard work done on problems that have been festering for decades, I don't see it getting done that way. And without that, the problem's going to get worse. And eventually, if it's not our generation, Drew, it's the generation after us that's going to pay the big price for it.
$32 trillion worth of debt, Peter. That's unbelievable. I mean, it's just staggering to think about that and what that portends for the future. Uriel is listening to us in Sacramento, California. Uriel, good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. Drew, you are a instrument of God's grace, and Peter, you're a breath of fresh air.
Thank
you. my comment and question is the U.S. debt clock has the dollar to oil, dollar to gold, dollar to silver ratio at $0. It's been like this for the last 4 or 5 days. I mean, those commodities, to me, it seems like the dollar is being continuously defaced and it's losing all of its value. What are your thoughts on that?
Good call.
Well, I wrote about it on a blog that I believe the dollar had peaked. There's a great reason to believe that one of the reasons central banks are buying so much gold, because they're moving away from the dollar, and they also see that the only way in reality, other than defaulting on all this debt, because it's not just a U.S. problem, the debt situation, it's worldwide, is going to have to be some sort of gold-backed new reserve currency or something that people can count on and stay within limits. You know, this debt ceiling crisis is kind of foolish, Drew. I think it's the 69th or 70th time they're going to raise it. I don't even know why they still have a debt ceiling, because they always go past it and all. But he's correct. The commodities, especially some of them, are relatively cheap compared to what the dollar does. And if you believe in all this electrification that everybody's talking about, and you know everything's coming electric, then we're going to need a whole bunch of minerals that are needed for those things, and they're not readily available now. So commodities, certain commodities, I still think can do well no matter how much the markets may not perform well.
All right, sounds good. Uriel, thanks. I love the name. It's very unique. It's one of the archangels, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, the one that gets forgotten.
Yeah, I love it. That's cool. Hey, great call. I appreciate it. He's so right. You take a look at that clock, and it's staggering. I'm concerned about the future of the U.S. dollar as well. I only have a few minutes left. Let me grab another call or two. We'll go to Andrea, who's in Arizona. Andrea, good afternoon.
Yes. Hi. How are you? You know, I'm kind of a catastrophist, but believe me, I read Psalm 23. but you know, I look at our debt. I look at the policies of our current government, which are just, in my mind, absolutely destructive and just absolutely absurd and unrealistic, especially when it comes to, you know, getting rid of gas and going to electric cars. It's just crazy. And I look at, you know, our entitlements. I mean, there's just no way that we're going to be able to meet those obligations. I look at all the immigrants coming into this country, many of which are not going to be able to support themselves. And I don't know where that money is going to come from. Mm-hmm. And I literally think that I think it's deliberate. I think they're going to collapse the economy and reset it, because I don't think they have any choice.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know how we're going to get out of this unless we have somebody who dramatically changes policies and makes some dramatic moves to try to preserve this country and our financial system. I'm not optimistic at all, which is why I pray a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the call. I mean, I think you voice the concern of a lot of people. When I see these trillion-dollar packages that are throwing literally more economic fuel in the inflationary fire, it gives me pause, too. It's like, you know, we've got to treat the economy like we do our own house, you know, and you can't spend more than you have. Peter, you heard her comments. She doesn't see how debt will be paid off. It continues to increase, and that number continues to tick higher. And we are in a nation right now where there's this increasing spirit of entitlement. Let me give you some final thoughts here.
Well, it sounded like my brain speaking there. That's part of what's led. No, seriously, great. Seriously, Drew. That's part of it because I see this and I feel it, and I get so upset when other financial people make light of it or even joke about it. It's extremely serious. I'm hearing it from a wide spread of people. You know, we do this planning that a lot of people in 2021 and 2022 didn't want to hear about because we were so negative and just trying to say less is more. And they rather go to somebody who talks about the cup half full than half empty. But the caller's right. These are all the issues that are just growing by leaps and bounds. And without, like you said, having faith, which has been hard when your head's messed up and you see this stuff, that's the challenge. The devil really has an edge with me at that because he kind of knows I kind of have an understanding of this, and yet I'm as fearful as the next person about that, not just because I know more, but because I'm like anybody else who would have to be concerned about this. If you have fairness and understanding and appreciation to understand the facts and not listen to what I like to call the don't worry, be happy financial people, there's some really, really tough times ahead. But like I know you're going to say, and you're right when you say it, God's in control. He's allowed this to happen. And somehow that's what I'm trying to get by on. I have to trust him and understand that in the end, this isn't really the most important thing anyway. It's our eternal resting spot. So that's what I try to hold on to. But I do want to say before we run out of time, I've heard from a lot of relevant radio people, and I don't want to cry on air, Drew, but I want them to know how much that's meant to me. For all the years I've come on your show that people talk about it, how many long they've been listening to, and they're not clients and never going to be clients, but they really, really made me feel well, and I want to thank them especially openly on air, if you don't mind.
Peter, first of all, that's awesome. I'm so grateful that you share that, and I call us a family. I really do, you know, believe that. We pray together. We navigate life together. We try to look at it through a moral lens, through our Catholic faith. And you're a member of that family, right? And I hope people will write to you. I hope they will encourage you. I know you're going through a tough time, but there are brighter days ahead for you, Peter. I mean, stay the course. We're going to pray for you. God's grace is going to prevail. If people do want to get in touch with you, what's the best way? Is it just Peter Granich?
Well, PeterGranich.com. I'm also on Twitter. And I also want to say something that you won't say on the air. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, hey, I got to check my headsets. Peter Granich didn't say that, did he? Are you kidding me? A Giant fan?
For you only, Drew. For you only.
Yeah, that's going to be one heck of a Super Bowl. We'll have to talk about that too, Peter. I always enjoy talking sports with him. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I just want to say really before you run out of air to Maggie and Tom and everybody at Relevant Radio, every single person, thank God for Relevant Radio, and I really think people need to support it. A lot of people write to me and say, Peter, I profit from your advice. Well, do me a favor now. Make a donation to Relevant Radio, because without it, I would not have a chance to talk this way. Financial networks would never let me speak about or never have me back if I did what you just heard today.
Peter, I'm so grateful for that. Next week, believe it or not, we are having our first pledge drive of the 2023 year, and that's what keeps Relevant Radio going and allows me to do what I do here every day. So
amen.
I'm grateful. Your timing couldn't have been more perfect. Peter, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to continue to do that as I do every day now, and I know your family here, your spiritual family, will do the same thing. So hang in there, brother, okay? Reach out if you need us.
Thank you. God bless you all.
God bless you. That's Peter Granich. Check him out, petergranich.com. Check out his email. You can email him there. And offer him offer prayers. He's going through a tough time. And Granich, if you wonder how to spell the name, GRANDICH. GRANDICH. Peter Granich. PeterGranich.com. He's on Twitter too. You can follow him there. But Peter always, he's great, great emails, great stuff. So check him out. I'm going to take a short pause. Going to be back with more. All right. It's always good to hang out with you. Don't go away.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, so good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. I really do appreciate your time and the opportunity to hang out together. Thank you for sharing those stories about depression with Peter. I know he benefits from it a lot. You know, there's a saying who I think maybe he should turn to, Padre Pio. He suffered a lot from poor health his entire life. He once said that his health had been declining from the time he was 9 years old. 9 years old. Padre Pio, by the way, if you're not familiar with him, is one of the greatest saints, I think, of the 20th century. This is a man, and I've shared with you many times who he was, a man who possessed just untold mystical gifts. I mean, he healed literally thousands while he was still alive. He could read souls, knowing in case after case exactly what a person in confession had done. You know, this was a man who suffered the legitimate stigmata. I mean, he had deep wounds, and they bled until they miraculously healed upon his death. But he had them for years. He'd lose, they say, about a pint of blood a day. His back had the scourging. His shoulder had a terrible wound. His hands, his feet. I don't think since St. Francis of Assisi, the first stigmatic, had there been such a miracle worker. You know, this is a great mystic. And I'll tell you, if you need intercession, turn to him. If you're battling addiction, turn to him. If you're suffering depression, turn to him. If you're in the fight of your life with cancer and you're carrying a heavy cross, turn to him. This was a priest who could predict the future, who could see into heaven, who led many, many to the faith. Pray for the conversion of your child. I pray to Padre Pio in particular for one of my children. One of my sons was actually born September 23rd. That's his feast day. So I thought, who better to turn to than the saint he was actually the day he was born, right? This is a priest who understood, you know, God's mission for him. And he had a potency. You know, there's these stories of his bilocation, the ability to be in two locations at once, that during World War II, pilots seeking to bomb a facility in San Giovanni Rotunda where he lived, time and time again recounted how they'd been unable to bomb that area after spotting what they said was an apparition of a monk. At times, they said, a towering apparition in the clouds. See, I just want to stop on this. I know this sounds like fantasy, right? That's not true. Come on, really? With God, all things are possible. I mean, it's my mantra. You know, I really do. But with God, all things are possible. And clearly, he used this super saint to demonstrate that. See, we live in a world of great disbelief. We live in a world today where we reject God. We live in a world where answers only come from science, right? And we've pushed God out of the way. I think God sometimes, and he's done this across the centuries, right? He raises up these men, these women, who he anoints with these special preternatural gifts, these special charisms. And they're to inspire us. They're to, in a way, to be the prism and we can look through them and know that God does exist. The veil thins as we look through them, right? We can see into the eternal. In fact, eyewitnesses would say that Padre Pio, it would actually transfigure. And my next guest, I have to ask her about this. I had heard one place where, and this was a phenomenon that Maria Esperanza, the mystic in South America, had, very similar, where there would be a transfiguration of the face. In his case, a transfiguration into the face of Jesus during the consecration. And he'd spend hours during the celebration of Mass. He would relive the crucifixion of our Lord. One of my favorite stories, a story of healing, was the story of a worker named Giovanni Savino who lost an eye. It was bandaged up. He lost it in a dynamite accident. And Pio actually visited him in by location because he never left San Giovanni Rotunda. The man's eye was missing, and it miraculously regenerated. I know, it's unbelievable. And I could go on. I mean, I could tell you so much about him, but you know, before I go to Angela McClellan, who's going to be joining me here, and we'll take your calls. If you had an encounter with Padre Pio, if you got a question, feel free to do that. A couple things I thought we'd talk about today is why we need to turn to him, the power of confession, what he did in the confessional, you know, and just the fact that God does exist. Spiritual warfare is another aspect of this man's life. He's been attacked by Satan, beaten. he'd get mad at his angel, you know, and he'd say, hey, where were you? Why didn't you help, right? The angel would tell him it's because the Lord allowed it. You know, it was great suffering. And many souls were going to be saved as a result of that. I'm actually going to be visiting Padre Pio's place. And I want you to know, and I really want you to be prompt about it, because I know this trip to Italy is going to fill up very quickly. And I've been talking about it over the past few weeks. I probably won't mention it at all next week to you. So I want to give you the opportunity to get in. We're going to Italy in September, and with Relevant Radio. I'm really grateful Relevant has allowed me to take this pilgrimage. They're using a company called Nativity Pilgrimage. So when you go to relevantradio.com/Italy, you can get their phone number. You can call and get information on the itinerary and what we're doing and flights and costs and all that type of stuff. So you can check it out. But relevantradio.com/Italy and check it out. One of the places we're going to go is to San Giovanni Rotondo. You know, it's going to be phenomenal. I've been trying to tell Maggie, she's going over for her honeymoon. She's going to be in Rome, probably a lot of other places, but you ought to rent a car. Shoot on up there, Maggie. One of the places I look forward to going, and I actually want to go to confession in San Giovanni, is the very place where Padre Pio would hear confessions. And I may have shared the story with you before. I want to share it very quickly and bring Angela in, and we can talk about this. Pio, one of the other things he did outside of all these gifts that he had, he understood the power of the sacraments, right? And maybe you have not been to confession. I said to my producer, Tom, this morning too, I said, I really want to encourage people to take advantage of the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament that liberates and frees us from the bondages of the evil one. Padre Pio would spend so many hours in the confessional. And of course, he had this gift of reading hearts. So that meant that if you went in there and you kind of held back, he'd call you out on it, right? Can you imagine that, going to your priest? The priest knows everything. So you got to be truthful, because you're meeting Christ in the sacrament. There's this very famous story of a woman who came to confession, but Padre Pio said to her, go and pray a rosary, then come back before I give you absolution. And she did that. She went out and she prayed her rosary and she came back, and the same thing happened. And he sent her away again, said, go out and pray a rosary and then come back. The third time when she came back, he said to her just these simple words. He said to her, don't you realize he could have been a priest? Don't you realize he could have been a priest? In other words, she had that abortion. He could read souls. He had these unbelievable gifts. The amount of time he spent in the confessional should, I just hope, like the cure of ours and so many others, let you realize how important that sacrament is and the fact that you meet Jesus in it. I want to encourage you to go. Go tomorrow with your family, all right? Ask Padre Pio to help you if you've not been there in a long time. Tell you what, you're going to experience incredible things. I've invited Angela McClellan to join me today. She's Director of Faith Formation and Evangelization at the National Center for Padre Pio in Bartow, Pennsylvania. This is the site to go. You want to take a pilgrimage into the country, right? You can't make it to San Giovanni Rotondo with me? Check them out. Great group. I have a lot of respect for what they do. You can find them at PadrePio.org. Angela, great to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. An honor to be with you as well.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here. I'm so grateful for what your organization does. And you and I were talking right before the program. I said, what do you want to talk about? I said, we can talk about anything about Padre Pio, right? And you're going, oh, Drew, it's up to you. I said, well, let's let the Spirit lead. We'll see what direction it goes. I'll just start talking.
Absolutely.
And here we're talking to confession. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. Maybe there's somebody who's not been to confession in a long time. Tell me a little bit about Pio and the confessional and the experiences that he'd have there.
Well, one of my favorite stories is of a man who desired to go to confession to Padre Pio, but he knew he would be nervous, just like many of us are nervous, right, when we approach the sacrament. So he wrote all his sins on a piece of paper when he knelt down before Padre Pio. Before he could even utter a syllable, Padre Pio confessed his sins to him in the exact order he had written them on the paper.
Wow.
So I just love that about Padre Pio.
That's
that he
awesome.
Understood the human condition. He understood the nervousness that many of us experience and the shame and the embarrassment. And he kind of helped that man along.
You know something, Angela, we often hear, and like, to be honest, I'd be afraid to go to Pio, right?
I would too.
You get this vibe from the stories you sometimes hear about telling people to go and come back, or hey, he's this tough guy, this tough confessor, but really there's probably a lot of mercy in his experience, wasn't there? And I love that story because that was merciful.
Exactly. But I think Padre Pio was very much like a mother, you know, or a father. As a parent, you know that each of your children is very different. Yeah. And you speak to them in the way that matches their strengths, their mm-hmm. weaknesses, their personality. And I think that's how Padre Pio operated. He knew how to be very tender. He knew the people that needed more gentleness, but he also recognized in some souls that they needed a little wake-up call. And that's where his, perhaps we can call it his roughness or abruptness came into play. So he knew what each penitent needed to celebrate that sacrament in the most worthy manner.
I love it. My guest today, Angela McClellan. I'll tell you, Angela, I have to take a short pause. When we come back, let's talk more. In fact, I'll go to the phones. I only have maybe 10 more minutes left. If you want to get in, best way to do that is 888-914-9149. If you've had a Padre Pio experience, encounter, love to hear it. If you have a question or comment, you want to get in on the conversation, we'd love to talk with you as well. Taking a look at an extraordinary soul. And I believe the Spirit uses this program many times to communicate in ways I'll never know. I think the Holy Spirit's probably talking to you today. Get back to confession.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just getting plugged in, taking a look at an extraordinary saint. He's known as Padre Pio. He hails from that beautiful country of Italy, and I think he's one of the great super saints of the 20th century, and could read souls and bilocate and had the stigmata and just encountered the Lord in a really amazing way, especially during the consecration. And, you know, I think as Catholics, sometimes we fail to take advantage of the treasury of grace that's available to us. God in his great mercy, giving us these sacraments, the sacrament of liberation, that sacrament of confession or reconciliation. I know nobody wants to go to confession, but Padre Pio showed the power of it and the healing that comes from it. And Satan hates it. That's why you're going to be all, I can't tell the priest that, or you're going to get all nervous, or you're going to say, I'll go next week, and you make all these excuses. Don't do it. Don't do it. Find the freedom and the healing that you'll get in that sacrament. But then it also makes you incredibly receptive to the graces that come in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, where Christ is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so often, you know, you go to Mass, you look at stuff like it's, oh, I don't know. I mean, you only see what's before you. Yet if you could see with spiritual eyes, it'd be unbelievable. I mean, it would be transforming. Padre Pio had that encounter. And I'm joined today by somebody who knows his story, his life, his legacy better than most. Her name's Angela McClellan. She's Director of Faith Formation and Evangelization at the National Center for Padre Pio in Bartow, Pennsylvania. And before I go to the phones, let's pick up on this point if we could. Share with those who are listening what happened, how he participated in Mass, what happened at the consecration, what he had to say about that.
Right. Well, Padre's days were mainly spent in prayer, in the celebration of Mass, which typically lasted several hours. Some of the friars even witnessed him levitating at times during Mass, and then also in the confessional. And as you had alluded to before, people testified that his face was ablaze or transfigured, especially during the celebration of Mass. A doctor even testified that rays of light would come forth from the transverberation and from that fifth wound of Christ. So he suffered most intensely during the celebration of Mass.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. We'll take a few phone calls here for you too. I was there's an author. His last name I think is Ruffin. R-U-F-F-I-N.
Yes, that's and, correct.
And he I remember reading this a while ago. So correct me if I'm a little bit off on it, but there was a priest named Father Costantino, and he recounted this experience where he enters the room of Padre Pio, and he was struck by what he saw. He said that his countenance, he was shining with a rosy flame of light, he said. And yeah. It's something like he never saw before. And he says, I don't think I'll ever see it again. But it was in an instant. He said, I'll never forget it. But this is a phenomenon. You think, oh, I never heard of that. Well, yeah, maybe you have. I think back to what was observed in Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai, right? Remember what Scripture tells us after the two tablets, how Moses' face was transfigured? Pio encountered that. Are you familiar with that type of story?
Well, yes, because many of the saints, when they are in this unitive dimension of prayer, this transformative dimension, this transforming union, they're experiencing these ecstasies, they emanate, they emit this light, they radiate this light that, you know, testifies to the fact that they are in union, they're in close relationship with Jesus Christ.
All right, well, let's do this. I only have a few moments. Thank you for your calls. I'm going to do my best to get you on the air. Let me start in Aztec, New Mexico. That's a cool sounding town. Yes. Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
I'm delighted. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. So you were inquiring after experiences of Padre Pio, I believe.
Yeah, sure.
And I had prayed for years in an inconsistent way for the experience of faith. And then Christmas of 2012, my youngest son gave me a DVD covering the life of Padre Pio. And very shortly after we finished watching that video, I felt my body invaded with the Holy Spirit. I had to sort of collapse in the chair and felt my body radiating with the energy of the Spirit, and I don't know if I can ever get through this story without crying.
That's okay.
But it was the direct experience of Christ saying he died for me.
Wow.
Anyway.
Hey, Bill, it's a beautiful story. I love it. I don't want to get the story wrong, but there's a bishop that I know who, I think he had a vision of Saint Francis of Assisi, or he was given a vision of our Lord crucified, and the saint said that when he was young, it's before he was ever a bishop, he was, I think, a young priest or young man. He says Christ would have done that just for you, right? If you were the only one in the world. And that's what I think the Lord was saying to you there as well. The Lord loves us all so intimately that he hung on a cross for us. Thank you for your testimony. Mary in Maui, Hawaii. Good afternoon. Good to have you with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Wonderful. I went on a pilgrimage about 5 years ago. I was with a group of people. We went to the Shroud of Turin. It was a wonderful pilgrimage. I had a roommate who was not a very good person. I was very tormented by her. But anyway, we went to Padre Pio's church, and we walked inside. I saw the confessional where he used to spend 18, 20 hours a day hearing confessions. And I had a great desire to have my confessions heard. And I looked all around. You know, when you go on a tour, they march you around. You get a few minutes here and a few minutes there. I looked to see if I could find a priest to hear my confessions in the church where Father Padre Pio used to say Mass and so on. But the priest had gone for lunch. So I was very disappointed and very desolate about that. So all our tour group went outside the church to wait for our bus to come along. And I had this great burning desire. I've got to get my confessions heard. So I said to my roommate, I said, could you please let me know when the bus comes? I'm going back in to say a prayer for 5 minutes. Just call me when the bus comes. So I went in and knelt down at the back of the church, and I looked up at the cross at the front of the church where Padre Pio said his last Mass and all of that, and the little confessional to the left side. And I started to pray to confess. And I was in a deep place. And after five minutes, all I got up and I came outside of the church. And all my group was gone. They had disappeared. Yes. The bus was gone. There was nobody there. I was desolate. Somebody saw me running around panic, and where's my pilgrimage tour? And they says, oh, they went down, way down there. So I found my group, and they came to me, and they says, where have you been? We've been searching for you. And I says, I just went in to say a prayer for 5 minutes. You've been gone for an hour and nearly a half.
Wow.
We've been searching for you. Where have you been?
Wow.
I must have been in a very deep trance.
Yeah. Well,
at the back of the church, and Padre Pio heard my confession.
Yeah. Mary, first of all, thank you for your call. And I only have a minute left, and I wish we had time to talk about it, because, Angela, Padre Pio had this ability almost to stretch time, didn't he? They said he said 36 rosaries a day, but there are stories about, you know, people who want to come to Mass and time got delayed. There's so many incredible stories. I'll have to have you back to talk more about it. Bernie in Illinois says his father experienced Padre Pio. His dad, it was in World War II, received communion from him. Love to hear that story. But I am out of time for the day. My thanks to Angela McClellan. You check her out and the wonderful work that they do at the Padre Pio Center. That's PadrePio.org. Join me on my pilgrimage. We're going to go to Padre Pio's place. It's relevantradio.com/Italy. Sign up.